This is Teachable Moments with April podcast, and you guessed it, I'm your host, April. If you're a returning listener and a part of the Teachable Moments with April podcast family, welcome back. For those who are checking me out for the first time, well, hello and welcome. To everyone listening, be encouraged and look for the teachable moments that are all around us. Enjoy. Let us pray, a prayer for discernment. Dear Heavenly Father, I seek your counsel. I invoke your spirit and help me to discern as nothing escapes your sight. Guide me, Lord, and give me a healthy spirit, a clear eye, and wisdom, and help me identify any presence of the enemy, trying to tempt or trap me into the sin of pride or vanity. Set me free of my flesh so that I may see with the eyes of Christ. Let me identify the spirit behind any choices I must make. May your Holy Spirit fill me and take control so that I only need to walk in obedience. For you alone are holy and you are my sovereign Lord. And all my decisions must glorify you. In your Son, Jesus Christ's name, amen. This is Teachable Moments with April podcast, and I'm your host, April. Well, I wanted to stop by and talk about spiritual warfare. Now, last night I was on Tubi, I believe, and I was watching a documentary entitled The Unseen Realm, and the host was Corbin Bernstein. And he used to be on L.A. Law. I've seen him in other things as well, movies. He's very, I like him as an actor. I think I'd seen him in American Gods. I'd seen him in some other stuff as well. But I remember when he was younger, he used to be on L.A. Law. I used to watch L.A. Law. It was called The Unseen Realm. And a lot of what they were talking about is a lot of different things, but primarily what I felt to be spiritual warfare, and the relationship between, what's going on now, and I think it's very pertinent and it's very important. It can be a very heavy subject, spiritual warfare, but it's definitely what we're living in right now, okay? Very heavily, not just the warfare that we see, physical warfare, but in the unseen realm is what it's called. So there was a lot of terminology that they used. Okay, so he was the host, but then they had other theologians who, gave clarification to the scriptures. And there was a particular term that they used, cosmic geography. And I found that very interesting, and I have spoken previously on it, but I hadn't done it yet. And I mentioned a book where I used to work. There was a lady that was training for respite, and she just mentioned a particular book to me, and I always meant to follow up on it. I bought it a while back. And it's very interesting, and I always meant to do some kind of content since I started doing these podcasts, and it is called Territorial Spirits, and it's by C. Peter Wagner. So what I'm first going to do, like with anything, is first define what is spiritual warfare. Now, some of you guys may already know what it is, but there may be some people that don't know what spiritual warfare is. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to revisit, before I go into C. Peter Wagner's book, Territorial Spirits, we're going to look at some other sources that I have done in the past. JustDisciple.com, their definition of spiritual warfare, as well as GodQuestions.org or GodQuestionMinistries.org. What exactly is spiritual warfare? All right, so I'm back. So we're first going to start with justdisciple.com. And it says, what is spiritual warfare? Spiritual warfare is the act of fighting against Satan when he tries to keep us from God's calling. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So when we are pursuing Christ, he tries to accomplish all of those things. Though encountering spiritual warfare is difficult, it's not easy, God uses it, and he does with everything, okay? He uses it to grow us even closer to him. Then they ask a question, do you feel like you or someone you love is encountering spiritual warfare? Okay, so then the article does go on to say, when most Christians encounter trials and tribulations, they are quick to call it spiritual warfare. And then the individual that's writing this particular article or blog says, I've done this in my own life. However, that would be just a spiritual attack. Okay? Okay, so making the distinction between spiritual warfare, spiritual attack. Okay? The emphasis in spiritual warfare is the word war, because we are called to fight back when the enemy charges us. So the individual doing this particular article goes on to make, to further the distinction between the two terms, spiritual warfare and spiritual attack. When someone tells me that they are facing spiritual warfare, my mind automatically goes to the extreme. I begin to think, wow, this person is probably being attacked by demons and everything in their life must be falling apart. I think that's the first place most of us go when we think of a spiritual attack from the enemy. These attacks are not always that extreme, but are still incredibly difficult to face. Then it goes on to say, spiritual warfare attacks can look like thoughts of depression, self-doubt, loss of a family member, your head being filled with lies, or anything that could potentially prevent you from furthering your call. So when I hear that, I think about a lot of the things that I have been hearing about people. And I've talked about some of the phenomena that's been happening when you listen to certain kind of music, you go to certain concerts, and so forth and so on. And people are, other Christians, other believers, are telling and urging people to be careful listening to certain artists and certain type of music. And then people saying, you know, I really like the music. Nothing ever happens to me. Nothing is happening to me. I'm perfectly fine. Because you think of it being very extreme. Okay, so let's read that again. These attacks are not always that extreme, but are still incredibly difficult to face. So this is something that I have been guilty of. You think of something like out of a movie, okay? They're in a scary movie, demons and ghosts and goblins are chasing you around. It's very profound and it's very big, okay? But the aftershock of exposing yourself to things that are damaging and are a form of warfare or attacks, you start to have, you walk away from these events with what people call bad luck, much misfortune. Something has attached itself to you, okay? And you don't right away make the distinction that it had anything to do when you listen to that type of music, whether you didn't go to the, you went to a concert or you were just listening in your home or you went to a party. But there are things when you have all this bad luck or misfortune. You start to have bouts with depression, self-doubt. People want to even like kill themselves, suicide. Some of these things are attached to spirits, malevolent spirits. You have all kinds of things that happen to you. And you just think that, you know, you just got bad luck. And that's when you're going to need the power of discernment that only God, through the Holy Spirit, can provide to try to make heads or tails of this. Okay, if everything's going good for you, then you go to these concerts, or you're listening to a certain type of music, or you are exposing yourself to certain kind of movies and shows and in new age kind of, you have friends, you're going to certain stores. You have to be very careful. And things, a lot of times, they can be very subtle, and they may seem like they're not connected when they are. I think the best possible example of what I may be talking about is Job, the book of Job, Job's story, okay? And in this particular article, JustDisciples.com, they go on to chronologize. I think a lot of people know the story of Job, are familiar to a certain extent. And it wasn't just by happenstance that all these things happened. Satan came and approached God about Job. And God stood in it and said, Job, he's my guy. He is faithful, you know. And Satan basically said that, yeah, he seems like that because he has all these things. You blessed him with all these things. If he were to take these things away, then he wouldn't be. So God felt so certain in his faith, actually, in Job, that he said, okay, you know, do your worst, more or less, but you can't take his life. So all the things, if this makes sense, that was happening to Job, Satan was actually behind it, okay? And it may seem to the naked eye, people that don't understand, would say he was just having bad luck. But many, many things befell Job, and Satan was behind them. Okay, so I guess it might seem extreme to some people, and it may not. I think it's a very good example of like what I'm saying. When you expose yourself to certain things and then you walk away from, like I said, these concerts and exposing, you think, you know, and things start to fall, you think, oh, I just got bad luck. I just got a brush of bad luck. No, there are some things behind it, and it just requires that you're vigilant. And you try to be, we're all imperfect human beings, but we have to be careful of what we expose ourselves to our family to. And in all things, if there is any doubt or unclearness, you need clarity. In all things, go to God and ask for the Holy Spirit and the power of discernment to see if this isn't, what is the source of this? If bad things are happening, bad things happen to everybody, but sometimes there's a little bit something, a little bit extra attached to that, and trying to find out what exactly that is. Why change the way you accept higher education payments? Because flexible payment options for students always pays off. Because a support team of experts always pays off. And because lower cost and simplified reconciliation always pays off. Brand is the trusted choice of students, institutions, agents, and partners worldwide. Vertical ecosystems have outgrown legacy payment platforms. It's time to change the way you accept higher education payments. Brand always pays off. All right, welcome back. This is Teachable Moments with April podcast, and I'm your host, April. So we're talking about what is spiritual warfare? What is spiritual attack? So in the previous segment, we talked about the definition of both, and now we're going to look at the seven signs of spiritual warfare. Now, in this particular article by JustDisciple.com, we're going to look at the seven top signs of spiritual warfare. So, like I was saying, a lot of times, it's not like in the movies, okay? Or something so grandiose, it's so big, it's so epic. It can be something very subtle, you know, and it may just seem like a touch of bad luck or something to that effect, or something that just seemed to happen. And relying upon God and the Holy Spirit and the spirit of discernment to try to figure out what exactly it is. Because sometimes, like I said, things are subtle and it kind of gets past us. Okay, so let's find out. 7 signs of spiritual warfare. Okay, it says the first step to battling spiritual warfare is recognizing that you're in it. So that's with all things. You first have to realize it's happening. Okay, that's with anything. All right, so it says, and we're going to go straight into it. So the first step to battling spiritual warfare is recognizing what it is and that it's occurring. Okay, makes sense. So the first one is facing sudden and constant loss and problems. Okay, so before I go into this, this is something that throughout my life I have fallen victim to, and I didn't see it at the time as being that. When I was watching scary movies, reading scary books, and other things, and having people around me that didn't have my best interests at heart, and not really truly knowing the person that I'm exposing myself to and being friends with, so to speak. And there were a lot of people that were not very good people, and they brought that negative energy. You just never know what these people are actually doing when you're not with them. And it was something that I had told my mother many times. I said I'd find out as I got older. People would constantly be telling me they're praying for me, but I would get these really bad feelings about these people. And she said, well, they didn't tell you who they were praying to. Duly noted, right? All right. So it says constant loss problems. Okay. Yesterday, everything seemed fine and dandy, but then all of a sudden it feels like your world is crashing down. One bad thing is happening after another. Exactly. You feel out of control and unsure why you're going through all this, but God is right there with you. So in spite of this, yes, God is, he never leaves you, okay? But it is important to understand what is actually happening, okay? Number 2, sudden illness or health struggles. Being sick and unhealthy is not something that God wants for us, but it's something the enemy can use to defeat us. You may develop a small cold right before sharing the gospel, or even being diagnosed with something larger and worse. And of course, one of the things they give example is cancer. Okay. Number 3, facing increased temptation to sin. We encounter opportunities to sin daily, but there are times when our temptation to sin grows even larger. The thoughts randomly start filling our mind with desires that are unpleasing to God. And when that begins to be filled with fear that we are going back to our own ways, but that is a lie. This is a huge attack from the enemy, okay? Number 4, feelings of anxiousness, hopelessness, and struggles with mental health. Our own minds are sometimes the biggest weapon Satan can use against us. We begin feeling anxiety, having thoughts of hopelessness. We struggle with the desire to no longer be on this planet, what I was talking about, and just feel like our mind is exploding with toxic, never-ending thoughts. And this can definitely be a spiritual attack, and we have to seek God first when facing this battle. Now, like I said, my history of watching horror films and reading books about different things like that, the one thing that would resound in all of these books and everything, there's always some granule or more than a granule of truth in these books and movies about, you know, ghosts and goblins and vampires and all this. It's usually the forces of darkness want you, and that's true, in truth, in real life, they want you to be hopeless. That's how they gain dominion over you, is you're hopeless. So, and you're feeling anxiety and fear. They want you to fear-monger you. Okay, that's how they control you. That's why a lot of things that happen in this society now, it's to fill you with fear. Okay. Another, the fifth thing that they say is a sign of spiritual warfare, potential spiritual warfare, is the lack of sleep. Now, sleep is something that our minds and body need in order to fully function and be fully healthy. This is something that that we can be facing as a spiritual attack because of a sudden we go from 8 hours to 2 hours. Okay. Now, this is something that that a lot of people speak on, and I've been a victim of this as well in the past, but didn't make the connection. Go figure. Sometimes you can even begin to suffer from insomnia or face extreme nightmares. So that's the one I'm talking about, is nightmares. Okay, back-to-back nightmares. And they feel so real, they feel so vivid, and they can be pretty gruesome sometimes. Though this can happen occasionally, okay, people have nightmares, but if it's happening consecutively and there's a pattern, okay, so beware of when it's becoming a pattern and you need to go to God in prayer, okay? The next thing is losing motivation. Motivation is a trait that God has blessed us with and is what helps us pursue His calling for us. Without it, we begin to become stagnant. Sometimes we want to push through the lack of motivation, but even that can become tiring. Okay, you figure, why, you know, what's the purpose? Why am I doing this? Why should I go on? Why should I go further? That kind of, to me, goes hand in hand with hopelessness for me. Okay, when this occurs, it is a sign that you may be in the middle of a battle. Okay, and seven is very important, doubting God. Okay, doubting God is a characteristic that we developed as a result of the fall when Eve took a bite of the forbidden fruit. We began to lose sight of who He is and His characteristics, and we started to doubt Him. This can cause us to spiral and struggle in our faith, but God still wants us, okay, to help us even when we are doubting Him, okay? Though what you are facing is incredibly difficult now, know that your Heavenly Father is with you every step of the way, okay? And that's another thing that the enemy will do, is that you're by yourself. He's not there. He's not listening. That's usually different variations of that. He doesn't care. If He cared, then this wouldn't be happening and that wouldn't be happening, and He's not listening, and so forth and so on. But the enemy is the cause of this. This is the thing that a lot of times we have to try to remember. The very spirit that is in your ear telling you, trying to get you to doubt about God, is actually the cause of why you're having all of this happening to you. No one ever asks, why did Satan do this? They ask, why did they let God, why is God letting this happen to me? They never question or ask Satan to be held accountable. They always are looking at God. The entity that is doing it is the one that's in your ear. He's the one causing it. He's making you suffer, but you don't hold Him accountable. You hold God accountable. That's how I see it. I don't know if it makes sense to you guys, but that it's kind of interesting to me. I never hear anybody hold Satan accountable. They always are looking at God. Even when we as imperfect human beings invite Satan into our lives, whether consciously or unconsciously, knowingly or unknowingly, and then we're looking at God and blaming Him. How does that work? Right, this is part 3 of spiritual warfare. In this particular segment, what we're going to talk about, we already looked at what is the definition of spiritual warfare. We looked at what is the definition or meaning of spiritual attack, and what is the relationship, briefly, basically, between the two, spiritual warfare and spiritual attack. Then we looked at previously the seven signs, more or less, of spiritual warfare. how could what are some of the signs that it might be present and working in your life, okay? Why you're having nightmares, why you're losing sleep, why you have failing health, why you feel hopeless, there's no motivation, you're thinking about ending your life, you're having doubts, you're questioning your faith, if you even believe in God anymore, and so forth and so on. You start having all kind of financial problems and loss. Now we're going to look in this segment what to do when you're encountering spiritual warfare. So when you are face to face with the enemy, we can feel hopelessness and like we don't have a chance. But our Heavenly Father has given us resources to fight our enemy only through Him. Okay, so I wanted you to get to, you know, all things through Him. Okay. The first thing and most important is pray. Prayer is your best defense. So it says, prayer is one of the most powerful tools that God has equipped us with. It allows us to seek Him in the midst of trial and invite Him into our battle with us. Prayer is not just as crying out to God in the midst of turmoil, but also listening to what He has to say so that He can lead us, okay? God calls us to go to Him in Scripture in every circumstance. So we look at 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us, okay? So when we go to our Heavenly Father in prayer, He hears us, okay? He's not, don't listen to the enemy. He's not listening. He doesn't care. It's like this, it's like that. If He was listening, this wouldn't be happening. That other voice is a lie. Okay, the father of the lie. Don't listen to him. Got it? Father of the lie. All right. Okay. He doesn't just hang up his proverbial telephone, but instead takes time to listen and support us. Okay? Prayer, go to him in prayer for everything. This is my favorite one, guys. I've talked about this. Put on the full armor of God. Okay, so we are commanded in Scripture to put on the full armor of God, not only facing trials, but every single day, okay? And we find this account, as we know, full armor of God in Ephesians 6, okay? So I think we all agree that everything has sped up, okay? Everything, it's not necessarily what's happening, it's necessarily brand spanking new. There was always different things, war, trials, and tribulations. That was always in the world. But now, for this particular season that we are all in now, it's sped up. Okay. Even the days are flying by. Okay. They even saying the earth is spinning fast. We're moving far away from the moon. You're hearing all this kind of stuff. So time is not waiting for anyone. Okay. And they might put a little pressure on some people. But yeah, okay, so put on the full armor of God, okay? So we're going to look at Ephesians 6, specifically verses 10 and 11. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. The armor of God includes the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the field of faith, the sword, or the sword, of the Spirit, and the feet protected by the gospel. Putting each of these on, these daily, is an act of surrendering each day to God, okay? But also ensures that you are always on guard and ready to fight, okay? The next one to me also makes sense, the third one. So you got prayer, okay? Put on the full armor of God, and you have, yet again, get in the Word, okay? Though God's Word is a part of the armor of God, yes it is, it's important to read it even more. When the enemy tries to creep into our life, God's Word is our source of truth. When lies begin to creep into our lives and steal our joy. I think this is very important because I'm sure everyone, wherever you live at, you'll look at things, you look at the news, people, and there is like this continuous falsehood. I look at stuff all the time, and it's just right away, I'm like, why are they standing there lying? They're not telling the truth. Everything is cloaked in a lie on top of a lie on top of a lie. So you're going to need God's word, the Holy Spirit, and the power of discernment to cut through all of the lies, okay? They go on to say that reading the word, the living word, okay, allows us to stay focused on things above, even in the direst of situations. Though the Bible is not a weapon to use to literally wound the enemy, it is the best weapon we have available to us. Now, that's what they say here in this article, but I'm going to be honest. I think we can wound the enemy. I think we can. Let me read it again. Though the Bible is not a weapon to use to literally wound the enemy, I think it is. It is the best weapon we have available to us. It is the best weapon. Okay? It's the only weapon. Because the word is connected to the prayer. It's, like they said, it's connected to the full armor of God. Okay? That word is living. It's thriving. That's why when you start to get closer to God, you can't stop talking about it. It runs through you, okay? You want to share it. It compels you to do so. It's a force unto itself. Okay, so it says in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 and 5, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish. Don't that sound like a weapon to you? Don't that sound like it can wound? Yes, it can. Demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretense that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to God. In this case, Christ. To Christ, sorry. God's word has the power to break down the enemy and stop him in his tracks. It is the presence of God in the word. Okay, so it's not exactly us. It is God's presence. His Holy Spirit working, the living word, okay? The next thing that they say after that is seek wise counsel. Though God is with us every step of the way, we can still be inadequate to fight out battles alone or afraid of all that is happening. That is a perfectly okay thought to have, and God calls the church the body of Christ for a reason. If one fails or falls, we all do, God wants us to seek out other members of his body, the body of Christ, when we need help. Doing this allows you to be vulnerable and grow even closer to those around you, fellow believers, true believers. Before seeking others, you must first seek him in prayer. So that's the first thing, seek him in prayer. In all things, okay, before seeking others to go outwardly, okay, inward with God, okay. This will allow you to surrender to him while also asking help with who to seek out advice for in this particular season that you're going through, okay. Though your first instinct may be to go to your best friend, you may need to seek a mentor instead, okay. So basically, let's do a recap. There's four things to do when encountering spiritual warfare. You pray, you put on the full armor of God, you get into the word, and you seek out someone who is also a fellow believer and seek what they call wise counsel. To commerce, think of PayPal as an invisible force optimizing your business end to end. With flexible solutions to configure your checkout flow, you control the features you want and your customers get the options they prefer, minimizing lost sales. Their vast data, rich intelligence, and machine learning technology helps you protect your business, saving you time and bringing you peace of mind. And with over 20 years of experience, PayPal is in over 200 markets and has a global consumer network of over 400 million active accounts. All right, so to to kind of conclude this particular portion about spiritual warfare before we go into what is territorial spirits and go into gotquestions.org as well as the book that I mentioned by C. Peter Wagner, Territorial Spirits. We're going to talk about viewpoints, various viewpoints of spiritual warfare, okay? More so why we encounter it, okay, is what I'm getting from it. And also why Christians should be aware of spiritual warfare, okay? So the article goes on to say, though spiritual warfare is something that we all encounter at some point in our walk with God, others have different viewpoints of it. Now, I would think to myself, this is my opinion, that if you're not encountering any kind of spiritual warfare, there's something wrong, okay? Especially now, okay? Versus maybe when this particular article was done. And I don't see a date on here. I printed it out. I think if you're not encountering it, something's wrong, okay? Because everyone is under attack at this time and in this season that we all are in, okay? So I just want to put that out there. Okay, so the first viewpoint is we encounter spiritual warfare because we are not following God, okay? That's one viewpoint. Some believe that those who are not following God are punished by facing a spiritual attack. I do not believe this to be accurate, okay? Those who are not yet following God can face spiritual attacks, but because of the fact that sin is still running wild in our world, the enemy preys on anyone, okay, insight, and will try to keep them from coming to know our Savior, okay? So I agree. I think people who are believers and as well as people that are not, you are still going to be spiritually, you're going to encounter spiritual warfare. You're going to be spiritually attacked. Even people who are well established encounter it. And it's like I said, for this particular season that we're in now, it's getting down to the wire. You know, it's crunch time. So people who are new in the faith, people who are not new in the, you know, that's just what it is. The second theory or viewpoint about spiritual warfare is we encounter spiritual warfare only when pursuing God. It says, I've tried the same line many times when facing trials. It goes like this. This just means that God is calling you to something great and the enemy doesn't like what you're doing. Though I may get tired of hearing that line, it's absolutely true. The times that I faced some of the most difficult things occurred when I was taking huge steps in my calling. Satan wants to keep us from fulfilling our calling because it will bring good, and he only wants evil, okay? He came to do what? Kill, steal, and destroy. So he doesn't want any good. He doesn't want you to follow. Okay, so I agree. The third viewpoint is we can encounter spiritual warfare no matter where we are at in our relationship with God. Now, let's see what this individual says about this. This viewpoint is the one that I believe to be most true. Okay, you see, bad things don't just happen to followers of Christ or those who are running from him. Instead, they happen to every single person on this planet because of the evil. Okay, the evil that resides and has been cultivated. Okay, though the most important part to remember is that spiritual warfare is the act of battling the attack. Because of that, it is rare that unbelievers will engage in spiritual warfare since they do not yet know God and are most likely not aware that what they are facing is actually an attack. So this is what I was talking about before, of different things when I was younger happening to me and just thinking it was just bad luck and it was this and it was that, and me opening my home or opening myself to people who were dabbling and doing different things. That's why I tell you to be very careful with associating with certain people. And even though they seem like they're your friends and they seem cool and they're smiling and so forth and so on, you got to be careful. You got to be careful. But when you're younger, you tend to have a different type of mindset. It says, whether your viewpoint differs from mine or not, we must come to the realization that we need to raise others up in the armor, okay, put on the full armor of God so they are capable of fighting their battles. So then it goes on to say, why Christians should be aware of spiritual warfare. It is not a question of if you will face spiritual attacks, but instead a question of when, okay? So let's say that again. It's not a question if. It's a question when, okay? This is why it is the most important. It is of the most importance to learn about spiritual warfare, because without it, we wouldn't know how to fight our battles. We are called to be on guard from the enemy, and participating in spiritual warfare correctly allows us to do so. Spiritual warfare may make you question your faith, doubt yourself, and even fall into a dark place. However, the most beautiful part of spiritual warfare is that we got tossed straight into the fire so that we are able to be refined. If we stay stagnant, we are unable to grow, okay? Though it may feel like the most comfortable option, okay, it's the worst option. We stay stagnant and we don't grow. It's the worst option. We see in Romans that he has made us conquerors so that we can come out of these battles victorious. So we're going to take a look at Romans 8, verses 37 through 39. Know in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God uses spiritual warfare to grow us and shape us even more into his image. And then it says, it gives an admonishment. Stay strong, my friend, and do not become disheartened, because you can have comfort in his will and sovereignty. You are a warrior of the kingdom of heaven, so put on the full armor of God and go fight this battle. I would like to invite you to join me in prayer, a prayer of spiritual protection. Thank you, Lord, for your protection over my family. I come against any plot or ploy or scheme that the enemy has planned for us, and I render it useless in your Son Jesus Christ's name. We are the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. No weapon formed against us will prosper, and every tongue that arises against us will be condemned. We have the minds of Christ and the victory. The victory is ours today in him. We are children of the Most High, and we rest in his goodness and faithfulness. In your Son's sweet name, Jesus Christ, amen. You were just listening to Teachable Moments with April Podcast. I truly hope you enjoyed this episode. We invite you to stay connected with us on the other social media platforms of ours, which is TikTok, Pinterest, Instagram, Threads, and YouTube. Also, we'd like to invite you to check out our official podcast landing page on podpage.com/teachablemomentswithapril to see all our content in one place and leave personal messages, feedback, and more.